From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wong. The Blob, the sequel, is coming to an ocean near you. It's not expected to be as big as the original, but should offer the fishing industry a number of plot twists and the requisite surprise ending. All kidding aside, we have two reports on the Blob this week. First, how it's affecting Southeast fisheries, and second, how fish managers are adjusting pollock and cod quotas because of increasing water temperatures. Speaking of fish managers, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council is looking at more restrictions on halibut charter boats. And we finish up with Kodiak moms telling us whether or not their kids should become fishermen. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
The Blob is back. Or maybe it's the son of Blob, or Blob 2.0. However you want to call it, the warm weather phenomenon, first discovered in the North Pacific 5 years ago, is slowly reemerging in the Gulf of Alaska. We have two reports this week, first focused on Southeast Alaska, and then how the Blob is affecting pollock and cod fishermen in the Northern Gulf. KTOO's Matt Miller in Juneau reports it doesn't appear to be as strong as the original, though it could still affect weather and fisheries in Southeast.
Nick Bond is the Washington State climatologist who coined the name the Blob when he discovered the original patch of warm water emerging in late 2013.
For the Gulf of Alaska, I would say it's mostly, if not entirely, new. It might be a little bit of a different story for the Bering Sea.
Bond says Gulf of Alaska weather was unusually quiet this past summer.
Without the winds to draw heat out of the ocean and to mix up colder water from below, the near-surface waters again got quite a bit warmer than normal.
Currently, the water in the Gulf is about 4 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than normal. That isn't as hot or doesn't extend quite as deep as the original Blob, at least not yet.
A caution to add, this isn't the new normal, but still it's kind of alarming that we're talking about this sort of thing again so soon.
Rick Toman, a Fairbanks-based climatologist, expects these blob-like conditions, in combination with the current El Nino event in the equatorial Pacific, will shift the jet stream and North Pacific storm track to the east. That means mild conditions, less freezing, and more rain instead of snow, especially in Southeast Alaska, which he says is
much more sensitive. So we can go wrong by a lot more for Southeast in these situations than, say, the Western Gulf of Alaska.
Southeast Alaska is already experiencing warmer than normal conditions again. November was 5 degrees above normal in Juneau. Unusually warm ocean conditions likely caused previous shifts in pollock spawn timing and extended the range of salmon into Northwest Alaska. So what could this mean for the children and grandchildren of the original Blob salmon?
I think at this point, I would just say it's largely uncertain what effects this is going to have.
That's Andy Piston with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He says they're already forecasting a weak run of pink salmon returning to Southeast Alaska next season. Piston says warmer water usually means less fatty zooplankton, a common food source for juvenile salmon. Fewer calories means slower metabolism, slower growth, and reduced chances of surviving at sea. Even if they do survive out on the open ocean, salmon may return smaller and lighter. But Piston says the original Blob did not have a uniform effect on pink salmon runs.
You see a wide variety. Some stocks did outstanding, and some stocks right next door did very poorly. A lot did average. So part of the problem is we don't know exactly where in the ocean individual stocks are going for the most part, and it's really hard to tease out why the survival rates are so different between, in some cases, stock groups that are adjacent to one another.
Pink salmon make up only a quarter of the value of Alaska's total catch, even though they are half of the volume. In southeast Alaska, pink salmon are the bread and butter of the seine fleet, averaging $112 million for fishermen at the docks. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Turning now to the Northern Gulf, where warmer waters between 2014 and 2017 were blamed for a dramatic decline in Pacific cod and are thought to have negatively impacted other species such as pollock. KBBI's Aaron Bolton has more from Homer.
The North Pacific Fishery Management Council set catch limits for several species of groundfish in the Gulf of Alaska. Before members set those limits, Stephanie Zador with the Alaska Fisheries Science Center updated the council on the latest trends in the Gulf.
Importantly, starting in September, we are officially in another heat wave in the Gulf of Alaska.
Pacific cod populations in the Gulf plummeted as their food source decreased during the blob. But after waters returned to somewhat normal temperatures in 2017, Zador said cod body conditions improved.
All the groundfish in our survey that we sampled, except for cod, had poor body condition, so they were skinnier per length than average, and that was a sign we saw consistently through the heat wave and indicates that cod were able to pop back up. They were the only ones that seemed to be able to respond to this, you know, change back to sort of neutral conditions.
The council slashed the total allowable catch by 80% last year and lowered it slightly again this year in order to allow the species to rebound. Pacific cod populations in the Gulf are expected to stabilize in the coming years, but another marine heat wave, or blob 2.0, could hamper any progress. Pollock have also suffered poor recruitment in recent years, but Zador said that larva abundance was above average in 2017. However, much like cod, another heat wave is not a good sign.
So this has some implications. I was talking about all those positive signs for H0 pollock, the 2017. But we know when we get into really warm conditions, we think that's not as positive.
In response to that information and poor recruitment numbers in the past, the council lowered the total allowable catch for pollock in the Gulf by about 25,000 tons. On the other side of the coin, sablefish fared well during the blob years. Next year's catch limits were set at roughly 12,000 tons, a minuscule decrease compared to 2018. Managers say a large number of younger fish are moving into the fishery, but fishermen and others at Thursday's meeting cautioned against any increase in catch limits. Some fishermen fear an increase could lead to sperm and killer whales eating more fish off long lines. Managers say whale depredation is decreasing, but some fishermen argued it's worse than ever. Others also expressed concern about pulling too many young fish from the water before they can replace larger, older fish, which have been depleted in recent years. Reporting in Homer, I'm Aaron Bolton.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
More news from the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. The council could be taking additional steps to reduce the catch of halibut by the charter fleet in the central Gulf of Alaska next year. Those charters could see some regulation shifts in 2019, while the rules for southeast-based charters will remain the same. The council regulates halibut charters based on the expected total allowable catch along the U.S. and Canadian Pacific coast. Those catch limits will be set by the International Pacific Halibut Commission in January. Customers will be limited to 4 charter trips annually, with a bag limit of 2 halibut per outing in the central Gulf of Alaska. The current size limit for one of those 2 fish could increase, but that will depend on if the IPHC increases catch limits in the region. However, that is unlikely, as the latest stock assessments show that Pacific halibut populations continue to decline in both U.S. and Canadian waters. Halibut charter fishing in the Central Gulf was closed on Wednesdays this year in an effort to reduce the fleet's catch. Some Tuesdays could be closed as well for a second year in a row. That number will depend on catch limits set in January. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game's input will also determine how closures are scheduled. This year's preliminary harvest data indicates that Central Gulf charters exceeded their allocation. The harvest in Southeast and the Central Gulf came in below the total allowable catch for the region. The Council isn't planning additional restrictions for the Southeast charter fleet.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
And finally, a story about fishing and families. You've no doubt heard the song, "Mama, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys." Fish Radio asked Kodiak moms if they would like their kids to grow up to be fishermen. They shared these thoughts.
Yes. Why? Good money?
Of course.
Not particularly, because it just seems like it's sort of an iffy future in the fishing industry. I'm not sure what will be available to them later.
No, because I want something more for my children than that. I want them to grow up to be something that would be even more prosperous, more educational, more beneficial to them.
How about you? Would you want your children to grow up and be commercial fishermen?
Yes, I would. I think it's a great opportunity for them to grow up, and it's in our heritage, I guess. I'm a Kodiak born and raised person, and so I like it.
Well, as much as I would like to, she's not going to be able to because the rights of the fisheries have flowed into the hands of a few. So any more, it's a pretty much a dead end, kind of a loser lifestyle, unless you have millions of dollars to invest in it.
Yeah, because of following the footsteps of their parents and learn from them.
Why not? Yes.
Any reason?
Just to carry on the tradition.
How about you?
Probably wouldn't want them to, but if they did, that'd be fine.
Would you like to be a fisherman when you grow up?
No.
Why?
It's dangerous.
I think the dangers of it, and I get seasick.
How about you? Would you want one of your kids to choose a career as a commercial fisherman?
Actually, we were just talking about that, and I said yes, because then they could bring me fish.
So, what do you think? Would you encourage your kids to consider fishing as a career?
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Matt Miller at KTOO in Juneau, Aaron Bolton at KPBI in Homer, and from Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. Thanks to everyone who helped put this show together. It takes a big interconnecting net to make this possible. From reporters and technicians at local radio stations across Alaska, to the people who help keep the lights on here in Kodiak. And of course, you, our listeners. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Waugh.